Welcome to Sing, Dance, Act, Thrive, featuring conversations with performing artists and industry influencers on what it takes to succeed in the arts. I am your host, Diane Foy, and I believe that you really can make a living from your creative talents. As a publicist, podcaster, and coach, my mission is to educate, motivate, and empower you to thrive with authenticity, creativity, and purpose. Hello, and welcome to episode 37 of Sing, Dance, Act, Thrive. This episode turned out to be a special one with a theme of mentorship. It showed itself to me as I was editing all this together. In the last week, I attended the Dancer Transition Resource Center's On the Move conference and the TD Black History Month series launch. You'll hear inspirational words from hip-hop pioneer, actor, author, and motivational speaker, Maestro Fresh Wes, actor, producer, director, and creator of the Real World Film Festival, Tanya Williams, and dancer choreographers Kevin Ormsby, Jazz Fairy J, and Jarrah Wolf. Yes, we are all inspired by stories of success. However, in this episode, you will also hear about many failures, including one of my own. Oops. I almost split this up into two episodes, as both events could easily be their own subject and their own episode. However, the lessons learned are the same. You'll hear a quote from Kevin Ormsby about expanding your network. He suggests that dancers expand beyond the dance world, and that is my whole point of this podcast. I could have just focused on music or actors, dancers, but we all can learn a lot from each other. I used to host an event during the Toronto International Film Festival, and it was to bring the music and film communities together. Since I worked in both, I saw a lot of separation between the two industries. As listeners of this podcast know, I love dance, and so I attended the conference to get a better understanding of the struggles dancers face and see if there was any difference between, because I know musicians and actors so well. There really is no difference. We're all the same. I was correct in thinking it's no different from any performer. We're all creatives, and we can learn and be inspired from each other. So I encourage dancers to listen to the first section with musicians and actors, and for actors and musicians to keep listening to the dancers in the last section. It's all the same struggles and the same solutions. So February is Black History Month. And there's many events happening across Canada to celebrate. TD Bank held a launch event at Harbourfront Centre in Toronto this week. Canadian Songwriters Hall of Fame inductee and pioneering hip-hop legend Maestro Fresh Wes hosted the event. Maestro has recently become the first rap artist to ever have a song inducted into the Canadian Songwriters Hall of Fame. His single, Let Your Backbone Slide, was the first rap recording to reach gold and platinum status. As an actor, he is known as Wes Williams, and he's appeared in several film and television roles, including 8 seasons of CBC's hit sitcom, Mr. D. He's also the author of the 2010 motivational book, Stick to Your Vision, and has presented TED Talks on self-revision. Now, if you listen to episode 35 of this podcast, where I had Solitaire, you may remember me putting it out into the universe that I wanted Maestro on this show. And since for the podcast, I prefer long interviews, I wasn't planning on interviewing him or Tanya at the event, but I would take the opportunity to meet them and get their contact info and invite them on for a future date. At the last minute, I thought, why not bring my recorder, do a short interview now, as well. And then put it on this week's episode. I had such a lovely conversation with both of them. I will now play you something Maestro said.
As an artist, there's so many times I've done such a great job, you know, working on something. I'm thinking my song is done. Then I look at the engineer and he says, Wes, we accidentally erased the chorus. You're going to have to do it over again. And nobody really cares about it because all they really see is the final product. So there's something that to be said about celebrating the work to get to where you're at.
So when I got home, I realized that my interviews did not have any sound to them. I made a mistake. Since I'm still learning how to use the H4N recorder, I thought that if there was not any microphones attached to it, that it would auto-record from the built-in mics. Nope. I was supposed to press a different button. Somehow I did press that button to record some of the talks on stage, so I still have amazing words of wisdom from Maestro and Tanya to share with you, but I was still a bit gutted. I haven't read Maestro's book yet, but I had it preparing for that future interview I was going to have with him, and still am. So I went straight to the chapter called Falling Down. I needed more motivational words after my screw up. In it, he tells a story of a time he got to open for Big Daddy Kane, and the mics died halfway through the set, and he was booed off stage. He felt defeated and angry, but in the end, shit happens, and the important thing is to keep going no matter what. I got over this mistake pretty quickly, because at this point, life is the roller coaster. One of my favorite sayings lately, I think especially since starting this podcast, is the world's not going to end because of such and such. Sometimes it's the world's not going to end if I miss a week of the podcast, like I did last week. The world's not going to end. We all just do the best we can and to look on the positive of any situation. I'm sure Maestro doesn't sweat it as much when things don't go as planned these days either. The thing about not playing it safe and taking risks is that it's inevitable that you will make mistakes. You'll get knocked down. A lot. The successful ones don't let that stop them. Get back up and try again. I know I'll never make that same mistake again with that recorder. But there will be, for sure, other things going wrong in this journey. I get back up a lot quicker now. I've been coaching my clients lately on motivation. And in addition to figuring out their why, I suggested gathering a list of songs, movies, quotes, books, and other things that motivate you. So they're waiting there when you need that inspiration. One of my favorite motivational songs is Fighter by Christina Aguilera. And I recently heard Maestro's Underestimated. And I'll be adding that to my list. I think I'll make a Spotify playlist of Don't Mess With Me songs. What are some of your favorite motivational songs or movies? Let me know on socials. I'm at Diane Foy PR. Here's a bit of Maestro and Tanya Williams from the Black History Month event. And I'll let Maestro introduce the fabulous Tanya Williams.
I've been fortunate enough to been on a television series called Mr. D for 8 seasons, man, playing the vice principal, you know? And we shot that in Halifax, and we had a great time. I had a chance to go up home, you know, see my Scotian squad, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. And the beauty of working as an artist is the people you meet along the way, right? So what we're going to talk about in a minute is the process of community, the process of mentorship, which is very important, man, because coming up, I didn't have too many people older than me showing me what it was to be a rap artist making records. So I learned from people younger than me. I had to humble myself and ask mans like Ghetto Concept, you know, or Socrates, Cardinal, what have you, Rich Kid. And I've learned to be humble and study from you know, people younger than me. And the beauty of that is They might have grew up watching me, but we're watching each other. We're growing together, making our history. All right? So that's what it's all about right now. And then we're going to bring a friend of mine, man. I mean, we talk about mentors, right? I'm going to bring out one of my mentors, Tanya Williams, to the stage. Yes, yes, man. You know, let me get my hug, man. Let me get my hug, man. You know what I mean? Okay. So, when I first made the transition from artist, from a hip-hop artist into film and TV, you know, one thing I learned about being an MC, you know, we got transferable skills in hip-hop. So I learned the importance of repetition and the importance of preparation. So if it's my script, if it's my rhymes, I'm ready from just practice, repetition, preparation. If anybody want to battle me, it didn't matter where they're from. Scarborough, region, didn't matter. I'm ready, right? That's the preparation. But when it came to film and TV, I brought that with me. But it's also a different thing altogether now, because now you got to tweak these things as you go along. And I was humble enough to chop it up with Tanya Lee. I remember the time when I came to your house, right? I said, listen, I want to be an actor like you, right? And you sat me down and you showed me the ropes, right? And that meant a lot to me, because when I met, rest in peace, Al Waxman. Who remember King of Kensington? Remember King of Kensington? I remember Al Waxman was getting an award. Now, this is before I started acting, but I was thinking about it. So I said, Mr. Waxman, I want to be an actor. He just looked at me and he gave me a other side of my face. So I don't know if that was like, you poor thing, son. You don't know what you did. But I never forgot that. So when people come up to me, part of me, they go, Maestro, I want to be a rapper. But you never gave me that pat on the cheek. You said you sat me down, we had a nice lunch, and you told me what to do, what not to do, and you showed me things. And I thank you for being a mentor to me. Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Williams. All right? You got anything to say after all that? No?
I have a lot to say, yeah. No, you know what? It's easy to sit down with someone when you can see that the talent is there, and there's so much talent, a lot of it up here on the stage and in this room. So it's always my pleasure to sit down. And Maestro was just, he was phenomenal. You know, a serious person, when a person who just wants to know, what are the steps I take? Not looking for the easy road to get there, but what are the steps I can take to move my career ahead?
Do you remember the first project we worked on together?
I do not.
Do you remember a movie called Poor Boy's Game?
Oh, yeah. Was that the first project we worked on?
Do you remember where we filmed that project?
Yeah, 2007.
But do you remember where we filmed it?
Nova Scotia.
Scotia's in the building. To break into mainstream Canadian television, she's best known for her 20-year starring role as Dr. Olivia Barber Winters on the popular daytime drama, The Young and the Restless, which currently airs in over 60 countries. And international awards, including two NAACP Image Awards and an Actor Award of Excellence, Tanya Williams has been the founder and executive director of the Real World Film Festival and Real World Screen Institute since 2001. Through Real World, Tanya has focused the last 20 years on elevating BIPOC, screen-based Canadian talent, through advocating for policy change, offering professional development opportunities, opening doors, and getting the BIPOC talent and the opportunity to work industry. Ladies and gentlemen, round of applause for my mentor, Tanya Williams.
This feels really nice. You know what? I don't feel like I'm at this huge sort of event thing. I really feel like you guys, if I lived in a Tyler Perry house, I feel like this is like you guys just coming over for Saturday or something. It's really great to be here, and thank you so much, Julie Black. That was just phenomenal. I can't wait to see that musical. And Maestro, you know, it's funny, I'm older than any of the other people up here, so I've watched their careers. I'm 61.
Yeah.
Wow. Do the math. Everybody in this room watched Polka Dot Door, and you were all five. So do the math. I just love this industry. You know, I love the entertainment industry, but I was not one of those people. I love those stories where people say, you know, I wanted to be an actress ever since I could speak or walk or talk. But I was not one of those people. I started as a in classical music. I started playing piano, mainly because that's what my parents started me doing when I was 5 years old. And if you'd asked me, even by the age of 14 or 15, if I was going to have a career in the arts, I would have said, I'm probably going to be in classical. I said to my mother just the other day, if I had to live my life over, I probably, my dream would have been to be in a symphony playing on in an orchestra. That would have been something I would have loved to have done. I played, by the time I left high school, I not only played piano, but I played tenor saxophone, violin, oboe, flute. I loved classical music, and I still do to this day. But it was something Maestro said earlier that made me think of that, which is, these are the fundamentals to the discipline that you need in any career you do. So when I started working in the entertainment industry, which was really quite a fluke when I was 16, I applied all of that to the work. It never seemed like it. Actually, I've never found the entertainment industry fun. It's not fun. In fact, the thing I hated about school was homework. And I feel like I've dedicated my life to homework is what it feels like, because there's always a script and there's lines and there's research of the character. It is constant homework. And that's what I like to get across to any of the young people that I'm talking about, is that in anything you do, whether it's the entertainment industry or whether you want to be Prime Minister of Canada, is that it's tiny, small, incremental, hard working, focused, dedicated steps to getting wherever it is you want to go. And it doesn't matter what industry that is. You know, we were talking about Black History Month. And yes, a part of that is looking back at where we've come from, which is really far. But a part of it is also recognizing that what we're, all of us in this room, what we're doing today is going to be the history of 50 years from now. We are actually creating the history as it is right now. And that excites me. I've always thought about that even as a young kid. Every choice I've made, every job I've taken, every decision I've made is going to be reflected in the future back as to what did we all do? How did we move our people forward? What were the values that we had that we shared? They're going to look back on that. You see all those statues getting toppled now? You better be living a good life, because your statue could be toppled 50 years from now. So make sure that no matter what industry you're in, whether you want it or not, you are a representation of all the Black people on the planet. You never signed up for that. None of us did. But I know growing up, I was almost always the only Black person in the room. And I recognized that what I said and did, every other eye in the room was going to cast on every other Black person that they ever met after that point. So I took that. It can be a heavy burden, but it can also be a really positive thing. You have an opportunity to change people's opinions about who Black people are, how they think, what they do, and that they're not one monolithic group of people that move in one monolithic way, that we're varied, that we're different, that we think differently, that we have different desires and, you know, different wants. And that's about, I think that's the future to me when I think about Black history right now and I think about the future, is that we have to change the minds of the world in understanding that all Black people are not one people. And I love being a part of that history. That's why Maestro said, you know, when I met him and I spoke with him, I do that with everybody. In fact, I was just at the Crystal Awards this year. And when I'm in a room, the first thing I do is I pick out all the Black people and I just go over and introduce myself. It freaks them out, but I always do that. And I've done that since the very beginning, because I never used to see any Black people. So if I go in a room and I saw one, how could you not walk across the room and say, hi, Black person. When I went to high school, I was usually the only Black kid in all of my schools that I ever went to. And I went to schools in England, where I was born, and in Jamaica and in Canada. But when I hit high school, there was one other Black guy, Andy Cole. And I'm sure he was a great guy, but we couldn't be more mismatched. And everyone in the school just decided that we should probably date because we were two Black people. Even though he was like, you know, like a crazy party guy who like smoked pot and drank all the time. And I was in the band into classical music. I have no idea why they thought, you know, we'd be a good match other than the fact that we were Black. But I met Andy Cole recently. It was great seeing him married and with his kids. And we talked about that, how, yeah, we were supposed to end up together. I was like, I got an opportunity to start Real World because I was distressed at what I was seeing in Canada. I had started my career here in the late 70s, and I moved to the U.S. because there was such little opportunity. And the reason I know there was such little opportunity was that I remember going to a casting, and a girl there said, oh, Tanya's here. She books everything. Now, that would have sounded good if I had, was even making a living, but I wasn't even making a living. And at that moment, she doesn't even know it, but that girl was the person who made me think, if I'm booking everything and I can't survive on this money, then it's time for me to make that move. And that's when I moved to the U.S. But then after being in the U.S. and finding success there and being there for 20 years, I would come back to Canada and speak at different things. And all the young people I met, not just Black people, but all people of color, all they ever wanted to talk to me about was how they could get to the U.S. And that was distressing for me. Like, why did they all have to leave this country, this amazing country, to go to another country to find the success that they should rightfully have here? And Real World was really born out of that sort of anger and determination that I had for that. That people can leave the country if they want to, but they shouldn't have to. There should be enough, and we do. We have enough talent here, but there should be enough opportunity. And Naki said something wonderful. People like TD and other organizations, they put money behind that, because you can't move things forward without that money. But all of you are in this room. I think most of you are in the industry in some. I'm just going to say that. I believe everyone I talked to is in the entertainment industry. So let's start with that. What's important is the entertainment industry is not an industry that is separate than every other industry. I think it was Maestro that talked about that Black Mare. The reason we don't know about that Black Mare is someone hasn't made a movie about it. The screen, that's the power. It's been the power since it was invented at, you know, turn of the last century. I love it. I'm old enough I can say the turn of the last century. But this is what we have to remember. The power is in who is telling the story. You know, people, white people did not discover the Caribbean islands. There were people there. They didn't discover America. There were people there already. They weren't the first to get to the North Pole. Other people went to the North Pole. They were living at the North Pole. They weren't the first to go up Mount Everest. The Sherpas who helped them get there were the first to get to Mount Everest. But there are no stories. You have no narrative talking about this. And this is where it becomes so important. So people need to encourage their young people, whether they become lawyers, doctors, whatever they become, write. Write your stories or tell your biographies, and also make sure that someone out there, filmmakers, people in the industry, are making those stories available to everyone so that we can continue to celebrate not only what we've done in the past, but what we're doing right now. I want to thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to come here today to see you all, to talk a little bit. And I'm excited about this event and the years to come that'll happen. Thank you.
Tanya's fabulous. In addition to the talks, there was a couple amazing performances from Juno Award-winning reggae artists, Exco Levi, I hope I pronounced that right, and another Juno Award winner, Julie Black. You can view the video of these performances at singdanceactthrive.com/037. Exo is set to perform at the 5th Annual Tribute to Legends of Reggae Tour this February 8th and 9th in Brampton and Montreal. Julie Black, the queen of R&B soul, is making her musical theater debut in the lead role as Caroline at this year's run of Caroline or Change. The 16 performances run from January 30th to February 15th at the Winter Garden Theater. I'm so excited. I am going to see the show on Tuesday next week. So be sure and check it out. That performance that Julie played at the event was insane. So on to the Dancer Transition Resource Center On the Move Conference. Founded in 1985, the Dancer Transition Resource Center is a national charitable organization dedicated to helping dancers make necessary transitions into, within, and from professional performing careers. On the Move is a dynamic career planning and networking conference designed specifically for dancers entering professional careers. Presented by the DTRC in collaboration with regional and national arts service organizations, On the Move welcomes young dancers into the professional dance community and provides them with the skills, resources, and networking opportunities they need to make an inspired and informed transition into the profession. The Toronto conference was last Friday, but there's still time to get in on Vancouver's On the Move, January 31st, and Montreal on February 7th. It's free. Did I mention that part? Just go to the website. I will leave a link in the show notes to sign up, and it's free. As I mentioned, I went to get a feel for the dance community and meet the mentors. I came away with 10 potential podcast guests and made great connections with Dance Current Magazine, Turnout Radio, and all the dance organizations. It was a good day. Kevin Ormsby, Artistic Director of Cachet Dance, was the keynote speaker. And his presentation reminded me of my own coaching for performers, as he talked a lot about visioning and goal setting and how to take action now to put you on the path to achieving your dreams. He also said something that reflects on why I make such efforts to bring the music, acting, and dance worlds together.
Connecting your future today is about knowing, nurturing, and growing your network, but also diversifying who is in your network. If your network consists of only dancers, well, while they may be from diverse practices and backgrounds, they're all in the same profession. Plant seeds in your network, grow your gardens, fertilize your talents, and nurture those networks. And because I also work for one of the supporting organizations here in equity, diversity, and inclusivity, I wanted to make sure that the network was a circle of very different ethnicities and persons. Building and diversifying your network will be a very, very important part of how you will consider moving that. Who else do you know that would consider supporting or being in partnership with you?
Next was a panel on defining success, which is an important topic for all of us. What is your definition of success? If you don't know, then how will you know when you've achieved it? Jazz Fairy Jay and Jera Wolf had some great things to say about failure and mentorship. Jazz has been practicing her art as a performing artist, choreographer, and arts educator for 12 years. She was featured on CBC's Her Story in Black, honoring 150 Black Canadian women making a significant contribution to Canada. Jera is a choreographer and performer who is trained at Canada's Royal Winnipeg Ballet and has created new works for them annually since 2016. He recently won a Dora Award for Outstanding Original Choreography for Trace. First, they talk about the subject of failure and then mentorship.
Failure doesn't really exist. Failure, I feel, is an idea that we latch onto because we feel like we can maybe have some kind of profession or have some kind of, you know, smooth way or something like this. But every single thing that happens on our pathway is a part of the pathway. Single choice we make, anything we don't get, anything that's hard, it's just a part of our pathway. It just lands differently. It's not really failure. It took me a long time to be able to sit here and actually say I don't believe it. And I can beat myself up, okay? Like, seriously, you know? And, like, make decisions. And I have a, I don't know if anyone's a test dog, but I'm, like, a Virgo son. Urban Studies. Okay. And that is like perfection problems. Because perfection doesn't even a real thing. But anyway, just that, you know, you go through life and you make decisions, and in your personal, your artistic, I mean, an artist, those two worlds are always one, really. And yeah, I've had so many times in my life where I've picked myself up, or even when failures didn't hit on me. I had a person who told me really at the early parts of my career, like right before I did my first show, actually, so maybe a few months before I did my first show, I had a mentor in this program who told me I couldn't be a mom. I had just become a mother. I just had my son like 7 months before or something that has happened. And she said, you can't be a mom and a choreographer and a dancer all at the same time. She said, those are three full-time jobs. You can't do all of that. She told me I couldn't do what I was like literally sprinting into, you know, with so much energy. Like, I had a lot of ambition when I started. I mean, you kind of did that a little bit. She told me I couldn't do what I was setting up to just, I just had started doing it. I just had become a mom. I was just on the brink of making my first show. You telling me I can't do this? So for me, it really hurt me for a long time. But what I did with it is I, in my energy and my soul was like, well, you're basically telling me what I can't do. I just started, so I'm going to just prove you wrong. I'm going to just use that as motivation. So when we talk about like failure, are we talking about, you know, someone who can failure? Right. Like, how do you turn that energy around? Because I'm like, well, I can't listen to you, because then I really won't believe that I can do what I'm doing. But belief is the first step to doing what I'm doing. And even if I can't achieve it the way that I might think in my young, ambitious mind at the time, you know, you still can't tell me I can't do what I'm setting out to do. So I guess I'm just saying this to say that even when people pin failure on you, for whatever reason that they do, you can always take that energy and flip it on its head and turn it around and use it. And many, many, many years later, the same person came and started asking me questions about my work, you know, all these different things. It was just so interesting to me, this sort of like flip that happened. And it was like, do you forget that you said that? Like, what if I'm in this place? Is this thing where you can flip things around? And even the decisions that we make that we might feel are, you know, have a reaction, right? We might be talking about, oh, man.
There's always, you can always make a different choice the next time. You can always learn from what happens. So, this is why I say that failure does not exist. Yeah, failure has actually become a really strong and important part of, I would say, my backbone. I think that I've learned more about failure than I had initially from my success. For some odd reason, it gives me a lot of courage, and it also makes me feel very comfortable with success, which is really nice, because sometimes that, and especially initially, can feel a little bit, I felt a little bit uneasy with it, but now I'm very okay with it. But I think it came from a place of, I had graduated from a ballet school, I came to Toronto, I competed on a circuit dance, I didn't do that well, and it was really hard for me afterwards, and then I tried to get work. I got a contract right away, and then it just seemed like after that contract, nothing was happening. I didn't know where to audition, I didn't know who to connect with, and I had absolutely no money because I was hanging out in Toronto for about 6-7 months trying to figure out what to do with myself. And I remember calling my family and being like, yeah, I don't think it's for me. I think I was interested in maybe going off and being a firefighter. I don't know. I just wanted to do something different. And I wanted to get away from dance because it wasn't working for me. And my family basically shamed me when I did that. And they were like, no, you're going to dance. You're going to figure it out. Which, really, really happy they did that. Yeah, so I ended up going back to school. I went back into the Aspiring program, and after that, I then decided to go to Germany because my partner at the time was going there, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to go there. I hear there's lots of dance out there. I'll figure it out. And I saved up enough so that I could probably last 6 months. And then I got health insurance for 6 months so I could actually stay there on a visa. And it was about a four and a half month point where I had nowhere. Four companies to turn me down after I had worked so hard to try to become a part of whatever they were doing. And I just remember I'm doing my lines and just start breaking down and crying because I was like, I didn't make it, you know? And I had too much coffee. I'm shaking up. But I'm not that emotional about this. But that's where I was at. And I'd be like, and I just tried not to let my partner see that this was happening to me at the time. They were studying and I didn't want it to affect them. But I was freaking out. And then an audition came up and it was for Disney. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But at the time, for whatever reason, because I come from this classical ballet, you know, in my head, I was like, I'm going to go to Cedar Lake. I'm going to go to NBC. I'm going to go to Albert Street. Like, those are, you know, that's for me. So then this audition came up for Disney, and I was like, I got to do this. And I pushed myself so hard because I knew if I didn't get that, it was over. And it ended up being one of my dream jobs. It ended up being one of the most incredible things that I've ever done. It was so rewarding to get something after the time, being like, this is it, I'm done with dance. You know, I remember walking home from the job busing because I wanted to save the $250 or whatever it was for the bus. I didn't have the money. And like, yes, my family would have supported me, but I didn't want to call them for $250. Yeah, I just was like, I can do this, I can do this. Because of those moments, I'm very okay with success when it happens. And I think it's important for all of us to experience that in our own way, and I'm sure you will. So it is okay to make decisions on things that aren't necessarily what you thought or what you wanted it to be. Yeah. So that's what I think about failure. It's made me really strong. And I hope I don't experience too much more, but I'm very okay with it. I'm very okay with it.
Sure, Little. Yes, mentorship is super important. Sure, Little, about this particular thing. This little deity. I, for a very long time, felt like I didn't belong in this dance community. Like, I felt I wasn't getting hired for the jobs I wanted to get hired for. I was, you know, reaching out to people that would mess with me back. I was, like, trying to get into things that just wasn't working for a while. And so, you know, I was making all my own work and working that way for myself, but still felt like just not really welcome inside of the community. And 2016 was a really transformative year for me. But at the very beginning of that year, I auditioned for a movie, Rocky Horror Picture Show, and directed by Kenny Ortega. So we're doing the audition. And it's funny, like, I walked in that day, and all my friends were just like, Jeff, you're going to book this. Like, everyone was just like, this job's for you, get it out. I never even worked in film before. I was just like, all right. I went to the audition, do the first set of movement. I walk over to the side, you're like, loose, whatever. Walk over to the side, Kenny's following me behind me. I turn around, Kenny Ortega, yelling at me. That's how you do it! Did you guys see that talking about? He's going crazy, and I was like, whoa. Kenny Ortega yelling in my face. And I had all of this energy and this feeling I never felt so much like I belonged in a room. Like, I have been dancing, my career has been now almost 10 years. I have not felt like, I just got there. And I just felt like, I'm not supposed to be here. In fact, this guy wasn't talking about it. I'm supposed to be here. And I ended up, anyway, so I ended up booking the movie, and it ended up just totally changing my whole soul and life. It was just amazing. But the point that I'm making is that, you know, from feeling unwanted or feeling whatever I was feeling, to also being like, I remember asking friends, like, why don't people hire me for this or that? Or that? Why can't I just be, you know? And one of my friends, Hannah, told me, she said, Jazzy, whatever's on your pathway is on your pathway. That's the first thing that this whole story reminds me of that I want to share with you all. Whatever's on your pathway is on your pathway, and that's it. Whatever's for you is for you. And that's it. If you can just hold that tight, you won't get discouraged, because whatever doesn't happen or whoever doesn't involve you, it's all right. It's like, it's just not there for you. You know what I mean? The other quote I want to give you is to continue to go into spaces that embrace your life. Like, Kenny just like, and he told me at the end of the project, he said, whoever doesn't see your talent flaws and your magic and your amazingness is blind. That's what he told me. No one had ever, like, just been like, yes, to me before, like that and that way. And it really inspired me, like, wow, I need to be immersed. I want to be in these spaces where people don't even want to look at me for, you know? I need to find spaces where my life is actually embraced and people are like, that jazz come. And there's always a space like that for you. It's not like it exists. So, you know, push more into that. Push more into where you're embraced, where your life is embraced, where, you know, where you can trust that whatever's landing on that pathway is for you. And just let go of the rest of the things. The faster, the quicker you can just, you know, do that, I feel the more success you have, even just in journey with your emotional world. So that's my story around that.
Yes, he changed my life.
On the topic of mentors and support, I think be open to having many mentors. Be open to having lots of support. And then start to think about yourself as a mentor as well. It's something that was really special for me was realizing that there was already a couple people I would consider I mentor right now, which is incredible. And I think it's opened me up to more support from others, if that makes any sense. It's almost like teaching. You learn something so incredibly important to teach a class as opposed to just taking a class. It's very similar. I've been fortunate enough, there's a handful of people that mentor me, and I think it's a very important part of making someone feel comfortable is knowing that they have these sort of pillars that are there standing behind them. I have a friend, and he's Maori, he's from New Zealand, and he was teaching me the haka, and he's saying, family is on your shoulders. He's like, when I enter a room, and I'm going to do the haka, and I'm alone, and I've got all these people, and I'm nervous. He's like, I'm not nervous. My family are there. And he said that to me, and it was the most beautiful thing, because I was trying to create that idea. I didn't know, and I didn't think of it that way, but I was trying to create that idea, because I would always end up in these situations where I did have a little bit of fear, or I did feel like I didn't want to be vulnerable. So create something like that. Make up a scenario where you're like, when I'm nervous, or when I feel that little bit of, when I feel a little scared, or when I feel a little uneasy with my decision, I think about that, and it truly helps. It's a simple, silly little thing, but it really helps me to know that they're right there, and they support my decision. And there's even people in this room who support me and mentor me, and it's incredible, because I think about them in my own way. They're there. They're supporting my decision. I am also in sometimes a position where I'm making all the decisions, but I don't necessarily want to. Like, I'm also very open to having support, and I also think that it makes me feel a lot more comfortable with that. So when you are and you know you want to go for something, be open to having a lot of different opinions as well, and sort of take them all in. Because it's really important. There's been situations where I've ended up casting things, and I remember my assistant at the time bringing someone forward and being like, I don't think so, no. And she was like, no, please trust me. And then that person ended up being someone who's influenced my work, and someone who ended up being a huge part of the creation for me, and a huge inspiration to me as a choreographer and a creator. And here it was being like, these are just So I'm not perfect. I don't see everything. I don't know. And I know that. And I need a lot of support. And I think knowing that is the reason that I want to be a mentor as well.
I hope you found those stories inspiring. There were sessions on education and teaching and how to fund your practice from grassroots to grants. And in the afternoon, there were roundtable discussions with various mentors in the dance industry. They had 14 amazing mentors covering different topics, and you had to pick four to have a 20-minute session with. This is where I connected with the rest of my future podcast guest hit list. I chose auditioning for recorded work with Christina De La Cruz. She's danced with Janelle Monáe, Drake, Cardi B, Daddy Yankee, Sean Paul, and many more. I chose dance agency with Premier Artist Management's Sandra Gillis and the Talent Agent Management's Stephen Gregg. The Business of Teaching with Diana Reyes, whose credits include dancing with Jason Derulo, Sierra, and Fall Out Boy. I had a chat on healthy mind and body with the Artists Health Center's Matt Eldridge. I will be following up with all of them to get them on the podcast. Earlier in the day, I connected with another Dora Award winner, Michael Caldwell, and Lenny Len, whose credits are Rihanna, Neo, T-Pain, and Alicia Keys. Lenny was fantastic on the education and teaching panel, and his Island Kid project is designed to bring opportunities and education to the overlooked and dismissed children around the world. There were so many outstanding mentors at the On the Move conference. There was even a member of the Order of Canada, Christopher House. Anyways, if you made it to the end of this episode, I hope it inspires you to expand your network and go back and listen to previous episodes of this podcast that you might have skipped because the guest was a dancer and you're an actor. Or the guest was an actor and you're a musician. I'm not any of those things, and I'm inspired by all of you performing artists. That's why I coach and do PR. I help musicians, actors, and dancers present their authentic selves to the world and increase their influence in order to attract a loyal audience without feeling overwhelmed or doubting themselves. If you want to create bigger opportunities, I can guide you in communicating your skills, values, and personality to propel you to the next level. So if you are interested in coaching or publicity, visit dianefoy.com. Another cool thing that happened this week is I was interviewed on Rainbow Country on CIUT Radio by the fabulous Mark Tara. And so, yeah, if you would like to hear a half hour interview with me about PR and coaching and the podcast and lots more good advice on there. I'll include the link in the show notes to this episode, but you can also just check out CIUT and listen to it there, or you can find the link on my socials at Diane Foy PR. For a transcript and to watch the fantastic performances by Julie Black and XO Levi, visit singdanceactthrive.com/037. And be sure to join the Facebook group for performing artists at dianefoy.com/Facebook or look up Sing Dance Act Thrive. Thanks for listening to Sing, Dance, Act, Thrive. Be sure to join the mailing list at dianefoy.com to gain access to exclusive bonus content, a weekly newsletter, and an invitation to our private Facebook group of purpose-driven performing artists and industry influencers.